Welcome back. Today we're doing one of the fastest, most satisfying tricks for getting that 90s rave and jungle attitude into clean modern drum and bass drums without destroying your transients. The move is parallel drum crunch. Translation: your main drum mix stays punchy, controlled, and modern, and underneath it, we blend in a second, heavily abused version of the drums. Saturated, compressed, band limited, a little bit angry. Think sampled through a mixer and dubbed a few times, but still hitting at 172. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a reusable return track in Ableton Live called Crunch that you can send your break, snare, and tops into. And the goal is very specific. When you mute the crunch return, your drums should lose attitude and density, but they should not lose punch. Alright, let's set the stage. First, do a quick prep pass on your routing. Put your drums into a group, name it drums. Inside that, you'll have your kick, snare, break, and tops. You can process the group itself as your drum bus, or you can make a dedicated drum bus track inside the group. Either way is fine. One important mindset thing here: parallel crunch works best when your dry drums are already balanced. If the break is way too loud or the snare is weak, you're going to compensate with a crunch layer, and that's how you end up with a messy, fizzy mix. So take 30 seconds and make sure kick, snare, break, and hats feel like a decent loop already. Now, create the return track. In Ableton, create, insert return track, rename it crunch. Leave audio to as master. And keep this return 100% wet, because we're blending using sends, not a dry slash wet knob. Now we build the chain. And yes, the order matters a lot. First device, EQ8, before any distortion. This is pre-shaping, so the saturation reacts in a controlled way. On EQ8, enable a high-pass filter around 120 Hz and make it fairly steep, like 24 dB per octave. The point is, we do not want the low end driving the distortion and compressor. Your clean kick and sub live in the dry signal. The crunch layer is mostly a mid-range character layer. If it feels boxy, do a gentle dip around 300 to 450 Hz. Something like -2 to -4 dB, medium Q. And if you want more break bite, you can do a very broad lift around 2.5 to 4 kHz, like +2 dB, wide Q. Don't overthink it. We're just setting the distortion up to sound like attitude, not mud. Next, saturator. This is your grit engine. Set the mode to analog clip. Turn soft clip on. Then bring drive up somewhere in the +6 to +12 dB range. Start at +8 and listen. After that, pull the output down so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. A great habit here is to toggle the device on and off and make sure it's roughly the same perceived level. If it only sounds better because it's louder, you're not actually choosing the right texture yet. Actual extra inside saturator. Open the little extended panel and try color. Put the bass somewhere around 1.5 to 3 kHz and keep the depth subtle, maybe 2 to 4. This is a really nice way to make hats and break edges speak without needing a harsh EQ boost later. After saturator, drop in drum bus. This is your rave glue plus thwack stage. Set drive around 10 to 25%. Crunch around 20 to 40%. Keep boom off most of the time, because boom in a parallel chain is a classic way to fight your clean kick and sub. For transients, taste call. Anywhere from -5 to +5. Often slightly negative is great for that chewed up break vibe, like the break has been lived in. Now we go into the classic smash, glue compressor. Set attack fast, 0.3 milliseconds. Release on auto to start, or if you want more rhythmic pumping, try 0.1 to 0.3 seconds and pick what grooves at your tempo. Ratio 4 to 1 is a strong starting point. If you want more of a rave wall, go up to 10 to 1. Now bring the threshold down until you're seeding around 10 to 20 dB of gain reduction. That sounds like a lot, because it is. This return is supposed to be flattened. Make up off, set your output manually, and turn soft clip on. A quick coaching note. When you're dialing this in, solo the return so you can hear what the crunch layer actually is. In your head, aim for a mid-focused angry photocopy of your drums, not a replacement drum mix. If the soloed return sounds incredible and finished and full range, it's usually too much once you bring the dry drums back. A good parallel layer can be a little disappointing on its own. That's normal. It's there to complete the dry drums, not to star in the show. Now, after the glue, we do the secret sauce. Another EQ8 for post-shaping. This is where the 90s authenticity comes from. Band limit the crunch. Put a high pass around 180 to 250 Hz. Then add a low pass around 7 to 10 kHz. This instantly pulls you away from modern full-spectrum EDM distortion and into break sampled and push through older paths territory. If you get harshness, do a narrow notch around 5 to 6.5 kHz, maybe minus 2 to minus 6 dB, hue around 4 to 8. Just tame the sting. At this point, you've built the core chain, EQ to remove low junk, saturation for grit, drum bus for chew, glue for smash, then EQ to band limit and shape the vibe. Now we blend it. This is where people either nail it or ruin their hats. Go to your drum tracks and start sending to crunch. Start with the break. Set the send around minus 12 dB and slowly push up until it talks. You're listening for the break to feel louder and more forward without you needing to raise the break fader much. It's that density trick. More RMS, more attitude, same transient punch. Then snare. Try minus 18 to minus 10 dB send. This is where rave crackle lives. The snare loves parallel abuse. Top scent hats. Be careful. Start around minus 20 to minus 14 dB. Parallel saturation and compression can turn hats into white noise fast. If the mix suddenly feels like it has a constant spray of fizz, you oversent the tops, or you need to low pass the return a bit more aggressively, or notch the harsh band. Kick. Usually very little or none. Unless you're intentionally going for gabberish aggression, keep the kick mostly out of the crunch send, so your low end stays clean and your punch stays defined. Now do the main test. Mute the return. Unmute it. What you want is, with the return on, the drums feel thicker, noisier, more alive, more 90s. With the return off, the drums feel too polite, but in both cases, kick and snare should still hit clearly. Two really important teacher moves here. First, level match your A/B. Parallel crunch increases perceived loudness quickly, so you can fool yourself. Turn the crunch return down a bit, then compare again. If it only sounds better when it's louder, bring it back and rebalance. Second, check mono early. Distortion plus compression can do weird things to cymbal noise and width. Put a utility on your master and hit mono, just as a quick check. You're making sure your hats don't disappear or get facey when collapsed. If they do, reduce the top end in the crunch return and keep the crunch more mid-focused. Speaking of that, for authentic 90s bite, think less top, more mid. If your crunch reads as fizzy and modern, reduce what's feeding the distortion in the high end, and let 1 to 3 kHz do the talking. That's where the break attitude lives. Now let's add movement, because 90s-inspired D&B is not static. The crunch should be part of your arrangement energy. In the intro, keep it cleaner. Lower break send, maybe keep snare send subtle. As you build, gradually raise the break send a couple dB so the drums start to feel like they're leaning forward. In the drop, steady crunch, and then for a mid-drop switch, do a reset. Pull the crunch down for 4 to 8 bars, let the drums breathe, then slam it back in. It's DJ-friendly, dancer-friendly, and it prevents texture fatigue. Try one specific trick, a crunch throw into transitions. Right before a drop or switch, spike the send to crunch for a hit or two, then immediately mute the return for a quarter or half a bar, then bring everything back on the downbeat. That contrast makes the drop feel bigger without adding any new samples. Now, optional 90s resample flavor. Redux. Use it subtly. Place redux after compression and before your final EQ, or just before the band limiting EQ if you want the EQ to tame the added hash. Try bit reduction at 10 to 12 bits, sample rate around 18 to 28 kHz, and keep dry/wet around 10 to 25%. The key word is subtle. You're going for old sampler edge, not 8-bit video game. If you want a more advanced version that keeps your punch super clean, here's a great variation. Duck the crunch under the dry transients. On the crunch return, add a compressor after the glue. Enable sidechain. Set the sidechain input to your dry drum bus, or even just the snare if that's the main transient you want to preserve. Ratio around 3 to 1 up to 6 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 ms. Release 50 to 120 ms. Then set the threshold so every kick and snare hit pushes the crunch down briefly. Result: the transient stays clean in the dry drums, and the crunch blooms right after. It's like clean punch plus dirty tail. Extremely effective at 172. Alright, quick list of common mistakes to avoid as you work. Mistake 1. Crunching the sub. If the return has energy below 150-ish Hz, you'll get mush and you'll lose headroom. High pass it. Always. Mistake 2. Oversending hats. If your hat starts sounding like air conditioner noise, back off the send and tame the highs on the return. Mistake 3. Too much gain into the chain. If everything is clipping internally, you get harsh fizz instead of thick crunch. Keep your level sane and match outputs. Mistake 4. Smashing before EQ. If you distort and compress full range first, the low end dominates the detector and the whole crunch turns dull. Pre-EQ is why this chain works. Mistake 5. Not band limiting. If your crunch is full spectrum, it'll lean modern and EDM-ish. The band limit is what sells the 90s. Now let's do a mini practice so you can actually lock this in. Set your project tempo to 172 BPM. Load a classic break like Amen or Think, and get a basic DNB loop going. Build the crunch return exactly like we did. Then, send only the break to crunch first. Start at -12 dB send. Bring it up until the break feels more forward without raising the break fader much. Add a little snare send, around -16 dB, and make sure the snare still punches in the dry layer. If the snare loses crack, reduce the snare send or use the sidechain ducking variation. Now automate the break send. For the last two beats before the drop, push it up about +3 dB, then snap it back to normal on the first downbeat. That tiny move creates real hype. Bounce a 16-bar clip and do a comparison, returns muted versus returns active. Listen at low volume, because low volume reveals whether you truly added density and attitude, or you just added harshness. Let's wrap it up. Parallel crunch is a dirty layer under clean drums. You build it on a return so your dry transients stay punchy. The core chain is EQ pre-shape, saturator, drum bus, glue compressor, then EQ band limit. You blend mostly break and snare, you treat hats carefully, and you usually keep kick out. And you automate sends so the crunch becomes part of the arrangement story, not just a stag effect. If you tell me what kind of groove you're making, like Amen Heavy Jungle, Clean Roller, or Darker Darkstep, and what break you're using, I can suggest exact band limits, drive amounts, and send starting points for that specific vibe.